Jamie Locker with you here on the Green Zone. A reminder, if you're just joining us, if you want to listen to the World Series on the radio, you can do so right here on CJME and CKOM with Game 1 of the World Series. Every game of the World Series right here on CJME and CKOM, your exclusive home of Blue Jays baseball on the radio.
It's fantastic, right? Because how often do you get called, we don't have tomatoes, you got to stop and get tomatoes, right? You're out and about, you don't want to miss a second of the game, and this isn't one of those things where you're going to record it. Right.
As you know, my children are very busy through competitive
cheer. Oh, you're never at home.
Hockey. So you're running all over the place.
Yeah.
And on the way there in the car.
Yeah.
So that starts tomorrow, 6 o'clock, right here on CJME and CKOM. But that's hey, there's the injury reports out. Brett Lawther out. So we'll see the new American kicker tomorrow for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, Michael Hughes, apparently. Or on, not tomorrow, on Saturday at Mosaic Stadium. But let's get to Dave Naylor.
Everything you need to get ready for game day.
Now, the Green Zone's NFL and CFL insider, Dave Naylor.
David Naylor here on the Green Zone from TSN. Of course, our CFL, NFL insider with all the news you need. But let's start. The MLP nominees across the Canadian Football League were announced from the team perspective yesterday. And we on the Green Zone, Dave, assumed, and I want to ask you, was it a safe assumption that Bo Levi Mitchell will be up against Nathan Rourke for the Most Outstanding Player Grey Cup Awards night?
Yeah, I think that's been pretty safe for about a month. And it's funny because, you know, Farhan Lalji and I did a chat, I'm going to say mid-August, and the topic was, you know, who's your MOP? And then at the end of it, we threw in, okay, who isn't your MOP right now, but you still think could get into the mix by the time this season is done? And my guy was Nathan Rourke. And, like, since that time, you know, just look at the Lions are 5-1 in their last six. They have a 1-point loss to Ottawa, and their average margin of victory in those five wins is more than two touchdowns. So, you know, they've been on a heater. You know, Nathan has the longest average throw in the year in the league. He's been the most consistent. I think he's the best big play quarterback in the league. I think he's the most consistent quarterback in the league. I think he's the best quarterback running with the ball in his hands in the league. And I think he's the MOP.
Any teams MOP lists that you looked at where you were like, were there any question marks? Because we kind of had a quick look here on the Green Zone, and most of the, it looked like it was a pretty obvious list this year.
Yeah, I guess the Montreal one is the one that kind of jumps out, Davis Alexander, because of the number of games he played.
Yeah.
You know, and now you can argue, we say this kind of jokingly sometimes, right? That a guy's stock in being the most outstanding player can go up when he's not there because you see what the team looks without him. And I, you know, again, it's very small chapters of people that vote on this thing. As you guys know, it's just a handful of reporters in each city that choose the nominees. So, you know, one or two opinions can carry a lot of weight. But there is that sort of idea that, yeah, you can be appreciated by omission as much as you can by your presence. And I can't think of a better example of that in recent CFL time than the Montreal Alouettes with or without Davis Alexander. I mean, they just, you know, they look like a team that can win the Grey Cup when he's there. And when he's not, you know, they look like a team that had struggled to win games, you know, period. So, it's no secret that that's the most important position on the field. And we see dramatic effects when starting quarterbacks are out. But the drop-off in Montreal, and there were other injuries, you know, I'm primarily on the offensive side of the ball for them at times this season. But that's the one kind of that you wonder, you know, getting the nod, playing less than half a season. Well, he got it.
Dave Naylor joining us, our CFL, NFL insider from TSN, heard weekly here on the Green Zone. I wrote a piece, it's a Pinnell published for CFL.ca, on the battle for the all-star running back nod in the West Division. It's far and away Greg Bell out east. He's almost 1,400 yards. Out of all the running backs, he's it. But out of the West,
All of them are over 1,400 yards. Three of them over 16. Dedrick Mills, Brady Oliveira, and Justin Rankin were their team's MLP. But don't leave out, of course, James Butler and A.J. Ouellette with B.C. and Saskatchewan on their great seasons. Dave, who's the all-star running back in the West Division?
Yeah, that's a packed house right there trying to pull one out. For me, it's Brady Oliveira, and here's why. He's played 15 games, so the total isn't what Dedrick, he's fourth in rushing, 1163. So he's not far behind Ouellette. He's not far behind Butler, and he's a little bit behind Mills, but he's played fewer games than any of those guys. And again, I think when you're talking about, like we talked earlier, when a guy's missed, a dozen games or something, that's one thing. When he's missed a couple, I don't think you really penalize him with that. And you can certainly look at his average and say, well, if you're doing average yards per game, Brady Oliveira is going to be ahead of those guys because he's played fewer games. He's got the tied for the league's best average per carry. He's tied with Dedrick Mills. He's ahead of Butler. He's ahead of Ouellette. He's ahead of Rankin. And I really think this matters. It matters in both leagues, the NFL and the CFL. But I think it really matters more so in the Canadian Football League. And that is the ability to catch the football. Brady Oliveira leads all receivers, all running backs in receiving yards. And I believe, if you look at it from yards from scrimmage, he's going to be number one when you throw it all in. And there's a consistency to that for him as well. He's had, I believe, 8 games this season where he's had 30 or more yards receiving, and some that have been substantially higher than that. So it's not just like a couple of games where they featured him. There's a consistency to that. And when you also, I think, when you factor in what Winnipeg's offense is and isn't this season, this is not the juggernaut where, Zach's throwing for 35 touchdowns and that kind of thing that they have been in the past. In fact, touchdowns is the only stat where Brady Oliveira kind of comes up short of the others. And, it's almost weird because so often now in the CFL, it's not that the guy can't get into the end zone if you see a running back without touchdown stats. It's that they don't give him the opportunity to get into the end zone. And in Winnipeg, of course, that opportunity is taken away and given to Chris Streveler, right? So, I don't penalize him for having fewer touchdowns than any of those other guys because he plays on a team where somebody else takes that role anytime they get inside the 5-yard line.
So, Dave, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we need you to give us a blow-by-blow breakdown of the playoff implications for the last week of the CFL, okay? We've set aside 45 minutes.
Including ties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm just, yeah.
Well, the good thing is, guys, I'm right up on my screen. I've got the memo from the league, so I can just read it.
Oh, there you go.
I can't memorize this thing. It's unreal.
Yeah, it is. It could be real simple or get real complicated this weekend in the Canadian Football League as we continue here on the Green Zone. And in the message Dave Naylor sent to us on potential topics, I'm going to read this. And I'm going to read this, okay? This was from Dave.
Bombers announced sold-out season. Has Saskatchewan accepted these? Are the CFL's best fans?
That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Tavian Locker joined by our CFL and NFL insider Dave Naylor on the Green Zone. Just a correction. Justin Rankin does lead running backs in receiving yards. Brady Oliveira leads running backs in receptions for a clarification on the battle for the all-star running back spot.
And leads him in all-purpose yards combined.
Right? Yeah, Brady Oliveira is number one. Yeah. He's the only one over 1,700 yards, all-purpose yards. And to think in Winnipeg, they're like, you should use him more. What are you doing not using Brady Oliveira more? Okay, well, I'm sorry to get you involved in this, Dave, but I'm going to get Dave involved in this, Locker, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, okay? Did you have any problem with the way Corey Mace handled the quarterbacks in their game against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers? Because me and Belton didn't. We're like, yeah, his plan was to play Jack. Who cares? And everybody's like, oh, I should have kept Jake in to win the game. Dave, what do you think?
I think that teams that play meaningless games for the right reason at the end of the season have earned the right to dispense and use their players the way they want. It's used for evaluation. It's used to make decisions in the offseason. It's not just, let's try and, throw anybody out there. Obviously, you're trying to protect against injury in some circumstance. But in this case, that's not the primary driver because you weren't talking about your starting quarterback. But I, you know, my belief is, if, you know, you want the ability to do that, win enough games on the front and middle of the schedule, and you'll get that ability. And I do not criticize teams for how they decide to do that in games like that.
The good news is there's lots of room in the boat of being wrong with Jamie. So yeah. There you go. Yeah, oh, you can actually probably sit right next to him.
No, it's me. And
it
Belton
was the Bombers.
Me, no, it doesn't matter. It
you win the game.
You know. You know, the one exception to that, and I got to say, because it was historic, I was impressed by it, was when the Patriots played to go to the first perfect season in NFL history, regular season, since it would have been a 16-game season at that time. The Dolphins went 14-0. They played the Giants on the final week, and the game didn't matter to the Giants, and the Giants played everybody. Now, I thought that was kind of cool because it was historic, right? They were trying to stop the Patriots from running the table, the first 16-0 team.
And then they eventually did in the Super Bowl.
And they eventually did it in the Super Bowl. Yeah, ironically enough, the same team came back 5 weeks later and said, okay, how about now? Yeah, absolutely.
So
that was the football gods, you know, giving one to the Giants for, you know, standing up in the final week of the season. There you go.
I don't want to give Dave's contact information on the air, but I'm sure you can find it somewhere.
On Twitter.
Dave wants to be on the radio today to declare that the Bombers have better fans than Saskatchewan, apparently, with another sellout season.
He's at the top of his list of things to talk about today on the Green Zone, oddly.
Well, I kind of weighed into this one a year ago, right? I believe when we got to a playoff matchup, and I said, like, look, it's become just automatic when you're around the CFL. Saskatchewan Roughriders, best fans in the league. How many rider tributes to fans from commissioners and players? Like, it is. They're great fans, and I'm grateful to have lived there and actually experienced it. And it's a fun place to cover football because the fans care so much and they're so passionate. However, in this era, like, how do we say that with the, I mean, look at the Bombers. Their attendance this year, they sold every single ticket. And it's one thing if you had a, you know, front running team and while the team had been lousy for a while and everybody just wanted to experience this. Well, no, they've been great for, you know, all recent memory. And they actually had a down year this year and flirted with not making the playoffs, and their attendance is up. I got to take my hat off to that. And look, Saskatchewan is second in the league, and they're up a bit too. But they should be up. They got a good team. They got a likable team. They got a likable coach, and they're in first place. So, I got to come down and say, Winnipeg Blue Bombers, I'm doubling down from what I said a year ago. Winnipeg has the best fans in the CFL at this present time. I don't know how you can argue against that.
Dave, we changed the name of the show to the Blue Zone because of the Jays.
Oh, wow. Okay, not as a tribute to the Winnipeg Blue
Jays. No, yeah, exactly. It's the Blue Jays.
But don't worry, Saskatchewan, in the Football Reporters of Canada suite, later this year, Dave and I will have a nice conversation over an alcoholic beverage on why he's wrong. And I have a huge I might bring my folder on why Saskatchewan still reigns supreme over the Winnipeg Blue Bombers as the best fans in the league.
This sounds like a conversation that'll go from about 2:15 to 3:10.
Yeah, and we'll include a PowerPoint presentation as well.
All right, Dave, thank you so much for your time. As always, sorry we didn't get to the playoff implications. We were just joking anyways. Pretty much, if the dominoes fall the right way, the BC Lions will be playing for first place on Saturday over the or second place and home field.
That's the simplified version of it.
That's the simplest way. Yeah, the simplest way is Lions win, they host a playoff game. There you go.
But if things get weird, it could get real weird with the potential of a three.
With the Bombers coming east as the potential visiting team to face the Saskatchewan Roughriders in the Grey Cup. Oh, boy. Fun times, boys.
Hey, the Riders are 1-0 against the Bombers in Grey Cups. That's all I know.
We'll just rename the Grey Cup the Banjo Bowl 2.0.
Yeah, there you go, Dave. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, man. Take care.
That is Dave Naylor here on the Green Zone, our CFL and NFL insider. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. The Blue Jays have announced that Trey Savage will get the ball. Yes, the rookie who started his year in A-ball, single A-ball, will be pitching in Game 1.
We're not sure if this has ever happened before. We're pretty sure somebody is, but whether
they has pitched, yes.
Yeah,
but Game 1 starter?
in the World Series? This has got, that has to be a first.
Blake Snell, of course, going for the Dodgers. And as we announced at the top of the show, if you're trying to tune into the radio for the World Series, you can turn it to our radio stations, Regina, Saskatoon, CJME, and CKOM. The
6 o'clock start on all the games, too, which is really handy.
So that is on, of course, the Sportsnet Blue Jays radio network. And right here, starting tomorrow, game number one, 6:08 first pitch on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Today we are here in New York to announce a historic arrest across a wide-sweeping criminal enterprise that envelops both the NBA and La Casa Nostra.
That is an Italian mob, by the way. Yes! Scandal in the National Basketball Association. One player, one coach arrested among dozens of arrests in an FBI investigation.
30 people?
30 people arrested.
And they're suggesting it's not, they're not done yet.
This is going to get interesting. Let's talk to our sport business analyst.
Money. Breaking down the business of sports with Tom Mayenek.
Tom Mayenek joining us, sport business analyst, host of the Sport Market. This is a monster, monster story for all things that sports are supposed to be. The integrity of the game, they're supposed to be, you know, clean, no gambling. They're not being twisted in any way, manipulated in any way. We know that, yes, it has happened. Yes, Jonta Porter, who apparently, allegedly was involved in this, is one of the people they were threatening to throw games because of his gambling debts, is part of this story. But Tom Mayenek, for the National Basketball Association, how much could this blemish their role as sports entertainment and the integrity of their game?
Well, there's no question. It's a tough one, guys. Commissioner Adam Silver probably thought in the week or so before this season tipped off that the Kawhi Leonard, Steve Ballmer salary cap scandal, or at least allegations around that, and it continues to try to sort itself out. Probably thought, well, it can't get any worse than this from a PR point of view. Let's get the season going. Let's get past this. And, of course, that's what happened this week with the season tipping off. But at the same week as the season tips off, you've got these explosive indictments. You've got Cash Patel and the FBI involved, the Italian mafia. And as you guys mentioned, 31 people involved altogether. It is going to be a tough one. The only thing I will say is that among the commissioners in North American professional sport who are pretty savvy at dealing with crises is Adam Silver. We've seen it before, and you know, this week he was on with Pat McAfee and even made the comment that we need to rein some of this stuff in. We need to work with our sports books and maybe tone down a little bit on the prop betting. So at least, you know, he has been on record recently as indicating it's an issue. But boy, they've got a heck of a lot of work to do. And it's too bad because you'd want everybody to be paying attention to the Houston-Dallas game earlier this week. You want people to be, you know, focused on the basketball. Well, I'll tell you, this is going to be a biggie and one of the biggest scandals to ever hit the league in its entire history, in my view.
Well, and that actually leads to an interesting question about what the leagues can do. In the recent CBA for the NHL, they're actually making it, you can't, they're basically telling the hockey, you can't bet on hockey, like any hockey at all. And I'm wondering if you if you have any ideas about where leagues will go. I mean, obviously, the NBA is, you know, front and center here because of this recent scandal, and they're probably going to have to do something sooner than later. But do you see the rest of the leagues sort of following suit?
Well, you know, going back to Jonta Porter thing, the former Raptor from a couple of years ago, you guys might remember that that was really early in the legalized single event betting scheme south of the border. I think there's now 36, 37 of the 50 states. You know, it's legalized, and here in Canada, it's legal going through the provincial lottery corporations. I said at the time that because of just how significant the massive influx of new revenue was, that the NBA was going to work really hard on this Porter scenario to learn from it and to make sure that players understand what is, you know, what is permitted, what is not permitted, and also remind players as to how significant the penalties would be. You fast forward to October 2025, where we are now, and I think you're going to see the NBA put, you know, a big chunk of its resources in and around this. And it's not just the NBA itself. It's the sport books themselves, the betting houses themselves. They love the gravy train, all of them. And they're going to do everything they can to protect it. And the only way to protect something like this from, you know, long-term staining the game is to get into education on a heavy basis, make sure that the, you know, the fines and penalties are significant. I will say I reserve judgment on what else the leagues can do until have a better idea of, you know, Chauncey Billups' a position on this, Damon Jones and Porter and the other players who have been named so far. See what kind of violations have been committed here. And then use that as part of the therapy going forward. It's not an easy situation, and it does need to be more than just protecting money. It needs to be, as Jamie, you said in your intro, about, you know, preserving the integrity of the game. And if you don't have that, you don't have anything. That's how significant that issue it is for the NBA.
Tom Mayenak, I know you'll have more on this on the Sport Market Herd weekends here on CJME and CKOM with Blue Jays Baseball and the Green Zone postgame show. The Sport Market will be moved around a little bit on Saturday, but of course Sunday mornings you can hear the Sport Market replay here on CJME and CKOM. But speaking of ruining the integrity of sport, let's turn our attention to the LA Dodgers and baseball. They are, of course,
ruining baseball.
They're ruining baseball. How big of a conversation will this turn into? There's a CBA coming for Major League Baseball. There's been talk of a salary cap. There's been a lot of emotional, you know, Bryce Harper apparently kicking the commissioner out of the room, wasn't too happy about it. So what do you think of the Dodgers? And if they were to go back-to-back since signing Shohei Ohtani, will baseball have to take a deep look at changing the salary structure within their game?
Well, let me answer it two ways. And first of all, say that they definitely need to be looking at salary structure, you know, not only within teams, but across teams in Major League Baseball. It is one of those sports at 162 games that if you don't have a chance and you confirm it early, it's a real tough slog to sell and market tickets over the course of, you know, 7-8 months. So no matter what, they do need to take a look at it. And this is going to be a very fascinating next round of the CBA, simply because the stakes are so high. On one corner, you've got the strongest union in all of major professional sport, the MLB Players Association. And on the other hand, you've got a league that sees so much bountiful opportunities to make itself more relevant than it's ever been, maybe ever been, but certainly more relevant than it's been in the last 30 to 50 years. they don't want to see that go away. So it's going to be a very strong chess game between those two sides. Back to the question at hand, you know, I think if this was a case of the, you know, let's say 12 playoff teams in the postseason all being, you know, the top 12 spenders in baseball, you know, I think we'd have one kind of a conversation, and it would be a lot more about, yeah, these teams are ruining Major League Baseball. But all you need to do is ask the New York Mets on one hand, and, you know, you'll see yeah. that money can't buy you everything. And also for the Toronto Blue Jays in this World Series matchup, yeah, everybody goes to the you know, the massive number two in the league payroll that the Dodgers have. But the Jays are, depending on how you're counting your assets and players on the roster, you know, Jays are fourth, fifth, you know, on the list as well. And Rogers has invested a lot in the product. So those are the things that temper this a little bit. I actually think it's going to be such a fascinating television magnet for sports fans, because you've got the whole, you know, Canadian-based team against the world. You've got the Dodgers and their consortium ownership and Shohei Ohtani against the world. You've got popular stars on both sides. You know, I think that is going to be, let's say, a far cry from ruining baseball. But going forward, when you protract this over 3 or 4 years, that's when it gets a lot more difficult. And I don't think they're going to get there, because they're going to get into their CBA you know, before the Dodgers dynasty can be extended another 3 to 5 years.
So, Tom, the last time we had you on, we had a conversation leading into the postseason for the major leagues, and we were sort of breaking down the teams that were, you know, potentially going to make it to the postseason, and about the impact of not having like a Yankees and a Dodgers final, like World Series. I'm curious, you sort of touched on it in your answer to this last question, but are we, did the major leagues kind of dodge a bit of a bullet because the Jays are, there's 40 million people in Canada and the whole country is getting behind this team, and then you've got a big name out of Los Angeles on the West Coast in the Dodgers, and are we going to have decent numbers, or are we sort of in the waters of, uh-oh, no one cares about the Jays and they're mad at the Dodgers because they spend too much money?
That's what makes it such a fascinating question, and thanks for putting the spotlight on it, because I don't think you can go into game one without this as part of the conversation. On the one hand, it's an absolute nightmare for Major League Baseball's rights holders south of the border, because the Toronto Blue Jays don't register on Nielsen ratings. So it's going to be all the power of the Dodgers, and quite frankly, that's significant power. It's a franchise that's got a multi-generational fan base. It's got a bi-coastal fan base just because of the Dodgers' roots in Brooklyn and all the history that comes along with Jackie Robinson and all of that. There are a lot of Dodgers fans throughout the United States. So they're going to be carrying the load south of the border. But here's the thing. For all of the negatives, this is for American television with the Nielsen ratings not, you know, being attributed to in the case of Canadian viewership, you have got a really engaged Canadian audience, and there's going to be more, almost as many Canadians watching this as are Americans. If you go into the American League Championship Series between the Mariners and the Jays, you're talking, you know, 4.7 million Canadians, and then about 5.2 million Americans. If you do a per capita of, let's say, 1/8, you know, the United States is 8 times larger. Well, the reality is, if you do it on a per capita basis, Canadians outwatched Americans by a factor of 8 to 1 during the American League Championship Series. And then, of course, it finished with that monster, you know, more than 6 million average national audience for the Game 7. They're going to be okay. the problem is they're not used to thinking truly as a North American league. They are, you know, so focused on American statistics. But when you add the national television numbers that we're going to see on Rogers Sportsnet here north of the border with what they'll have south of the border, I think it won't be as bad as some people are suggesting. And in fact, it could be a lot better, especially from the per capita point of view that I think is really fascinating. And just, you know, quickly, there's so many angles to it, guys. It's because you've got one team with a national market. That doesn't happen anywhere else in Major League Baseball. You've got the technology and the accessibility and how many people have television packages and devices here in Canada, a lot more than the United States. I think MLB is going to be fine, and I think it's a terrific matchup from a Canadian point of view for sure.
That is Tom Manect, our sport business analyst here on the Green Zone. Tom, can't wait for the show this weekend.
Hey, all the best, and can't wait for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders to help confirm a home playoff date with the BC Lions. I'm saying that in jest, of course, but boy, Amar Doman deserves, if there's any karma in the business of the CFL, he deserves a home playoff date.
We'll see if they can get her done Saturday at Mosaic Stadium. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. Treya Savage will be the game one starter for the Toronto Blue Jays, and you'll be able to hear all the World Series games right here on CJME and CKOM starting tomorrow. 6:08 first pitch as we partner with Sportsnet Blue Jays Radio Network to bring you the World Series again exclusively in Regina and Saskatoon on CJME and CKOM. In the National Hockey League tonight, there are plenty of games to watch, including an all-Canadian matchup. The Edmonton Oilers are hosting the Montreal Canadiens tonight. The Canucks are in Nashville. Ottawa hosting Philadelphia. The Jets are hosting the Seattle Kraken. And if you want to hit a nostalgia, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop.
This is fun.
The Hurricanes and the Avalanche. The Hurricanes will be wearing Hartford Whaler jerseys. The Colorado Avalanche will be wearing their Quebec Nordique jerseys. Oh, it'll be like the 90s all over again at Ball Arena in Denver. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, Britton Gray is coming up on an update on the kicker. Yeah, Brett Lawther ruled out on Saturday's game. We'll see the new guy. Britton's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.